This is for the men who never settle. The ones who believe only quitters end a game in a tie. The type of guys who choose the bar with the biggest TVs to overcompensate for theirs at home. This is the Lodge mentality. This is Twin Peaks.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
As you're eating it, you're sobbing because you know you're ashamed of yourself.
With Joshua Briscoe.
But then afterwards, like, just a complete and utter shame sets in. So I had to leave it off because at 31 years old, I can't go somewhere and eat and just start crying in my roast beef and cheddar because I know I'm disgusting.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
We've got plenty to discuss with Matt Verderam. First, I'll tell you, you can follow him on Twitter, at Matt Verderam. You can read all of his work at Fanside, and you can check out Stacking the Box. It's a column. It's a podcast. It's a video. It's a multi-transmedia experience. It's a lifestyle. And also, before we get to any of the things about the Chiefs and the general state of the NFL, Matt, I have to just sort of help. I need you to help me help myself figure out how to feel about the not a joke, very real, coming in one day, 13 hours, 56 minutes, and 55 seconds from now, Arby's vodka. There is a crinkle fry flavored vodka and a curly fry flavored vodka. You want to go halvesies on this or what? You getting your own box?
All right, so I guess I should start this out with saying I'm doing this interview as I'm in line at the liquor store waiting for this to be released, like it's kind of like an Air Jordan release at a Foot Locker.
You're Black Friday ready for Arby's vodka.
That's right. That's right. I'm right in time for Thanksgiving to spend time with the kids. But I think if you're going to buy one of them, you better buy both, right? Like at that point, you're so invested.
Sure.
You can't be like, you can't go home and be, hey, honey, what'd you pick up the store? Got some crinkle fry vodka. Like, at that point, you got to be like, look, I got this set. It is what it is. I'll be in the basement. I think that's one of those purchases, though, in all sincerity. Like, if you come home and, you know, your uncle, you're like, hey, you know, what's going on with Uncle Jim? Bought Arby's vodka. God, it's bad, huh? Yeah, yeah. Like, if you get that, they should be federally compelled to just hand you the Betty Ford Clinic phone number.
Yes. Yep.
Like, all right, here you go. You're going to need it.
Every bottle of Arby's vodka comes with one free mandatory intervention. It's just like a little coupon for it.
I have to say, though, at the same point, I really respect it from Arby's. They were just
really?
Like, you know what? Somebody's going to do it. Like, we're going to get revenue out of this. And I know, like, if I'm 33 now. If I was 21, 22 years old in college with nothing else to do, and Arby's vodka was like $12 for a handle, I'd absolutely do it. I have no shame in admitting that. I'd be like, you know what? That's hilarious. I mean, look, back then, like now, first of all, I'll be the first to say, I am not somebody who really ever, I've never been to a liquor store for like five times in my life since college. I just, it's not my deal. If I drink, it's usually at a bar. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if I were to go get a bottle of vodka at this point in my life, it would be, you know, I hope at least a halfway decent bottle of vodka, like it's probably for an occasion. You know, in college, you went to the local liquor store, and whatever was the cheapest bottle of vodka, you're like, that's it. That's what I'm getting. And so if Arby's hit that price point, I don't care if it's flavored like roast beef. Like, I'm getting it. It's going to happen.
See, you say you respect it, and I do too, but I would have respected a beef and cheddar flavor a lot more, just because that's a much bigger called shot. That's a much bigger swing. Are you a Bloody Mary guy at all? I'm not. I don't like tomato juice or anything. But I've seen people say this could be a Bloody Mary mix.
I'm not either. My she wouldn't like me saying this. My mother, big fan.
Okay.
So we certainly grew up around a Bloody Mary. It never appealed to me. I'm not. If I go out, I'm boring, man. I'm having like a rum and coke with a lime or a Moscow Mule.
Are delicious. Like, those are wonderful drinks. That's okay.
They're simple. They're not going to get screwed up. You know, I will give it to you. What did I have? It was like Apple Crown Royal.
Mm-hmm.
That was actually really good. That was like part of the mule. But yeah, I mean, I'm not the person who's going to go out and order like an $18 mixed drink.
Yeah.
That's just not, I mean, which I'm sure is shocking to the audience. That's just not going to happen.
Well, the other thing is that you could put nail polish remover in a glass of regular Coke and it would still taste pretty good. Like you're safe there. It is a safe space to be.
Yeah. The thing that does always crack me up though, is when you go and somebody, like you're sitting at a bar and, you know, especially if it's like a Buffalo Wild Wings type place. Mm-hmm. There's like a lot of food on the bar and somebody's ordered. And I'm not hating on this because I've been this person, but like you order like a double cheeseburger with fries and some tots and like God knows what else, right? Like the meal is like 8,000 calories.
Yes.
And then the person goes, "Excuse me, Coke and rum, a Diet Coke."
Yes.
You're like, bro, you're so old, and at this point, you should be getting like the double sugar Coke.
Yes.
Why not? Why at that point? You like why dampen the experience? But. I digress.
At that point, you need to get some recreational insulin and just have a needle hanging out of your arm as you're eating, you know, what you've just laid out there. I will also tell you that I, not a joke, as a very serious man, have had the tab open of rbsvodka.com for several days so I don't forget to check the countdown, because eventually it's going to go on sale and I'm going to be able to stare at it and go, what kind of person am I, you know? And I'm going to get to answer that question. I'm going to get to know definitively. And I think I know the answer to this question. I currently have a mustache. But I'm going to know definitively.
Is it wispy like an adult film star mustache?
No, I would say it is full-bodied, but it's a pretty light brown. So it's just sort of a suggestion of a mustache. I'm not ashamed of it, but I'm also not proud of it.
So basically the Kansas City metro area, like the police are monitoring you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. And so, and again, because the real thing here, and they might have grounds to legally arrest me in and out in 1 day, 13 hours, 51 minutes, and 5 seconds, because in 1 day, 13 hours, 51 minutes, and 0 seconds, I'm going to know definitively, am I a dirtbag? Because I'm going to either buy it or not.
Man, I got to tell you, like, you've got the tab open for several days.
Yeah.
I think you have your answer.
I think I do. I think I know already.
With the purchase at this point, like regardless, it is what it is. But hey, listen, you know what? There are stories I'm not going to tell on the radio that I am far more ashamed of in terms of, you know, thinking back to college and going, oh my God, like that whole bottle of vodka was like $6. And there were some times I look back on and go, ooh, that was a questionable choice. But Arby's, you're drinking curly fried flavored vodka. Somewhere along the line, you made a bad turn.
Yeah.
And that's something you're going to have to grapple with.
And I don't know what you mix it with. If it's not, I don't know. That's ground that I can cross in a day, 13 hours and some number of minutes and seconds. Last drinking based thing before I ask you lots of fun football things. And Rudy, I need your answer on this as well. I don't need the full story, obviously, but what is the thing you're like, I would not drink that again if someone offered me, I'm not going to say a grand, because I would, you know, I'd drink bleach for a grand, I think. But if someone was like, hey, do you want a free drink of this? You would be like, no, I don't, because I had that and it went really badly one time. What would your answer be?
Oh, God, easy. Tequila.
Oh, just all tequila. Just tequila has been bad to me.
It was specifically Jose Cuervo, but it had nothing to do with what brand it was. It was basically, look, man, if you drink the ocean of something one night in college,
yeah.
Okay, and then you see the ocean in reverse, and you feel it in reverse, you're good for the rest of your life. I can't even look at a bottle of Jose Cuervo. This is what it is. It was a tough night. Tough night.
God, I should have told Matt this segment was sponsored by Jose Cuervo before we started. That's really awkward.
I raised their stock single-handedly one night this year in college, so they should be pretty happy.
They still have a net positive from you. Rudy, what is your...
It's tequila.
Really?
I've maybe had 3 nights where I've drank tequila, and it never ends well.
Okay. My friend Darren, formerly known as Basement Darren, at one point, as a gift, I let him borrow my car. I think I was out of town. I don't remember what it was, but he got me. We had had some conversation at some point about absinthe. And look, all of the like hallucinogenic things about absinthe, I think, are largely like folk tales at this point. I think that's whenever you made it with wormwood in a bathtub in 1827. But it does still taste like black licorice, and it was unpleasant whenever it went down, and it only had more unpleasant exit strategies. And I threw up into a bag. Like, you know how down bad you have to be to throw up into a bag?
Been there.
And you just gotta pray to God in heaven that that's an airtight seal.
While driving, too, I might add.
Oh, no, Rudy!
Down the highway.
Oh, no! That was the day you were sick, though, right? So you're right back from Wichita or something?
So funny enough, this happened to it happened to me twice in like the same year. One time because I was just legitimately sick. I was driving back home. I got the flu or something. Another time, I was driving back from Wichita because we had to get to the Chiefs game. I was at a wedding the night before.
Yeah.
Drank too much the night before. Felt very sick the next day.
I just wanted to get to the point where you were driving and barfing hungover the next day,
yes.
Not all in the heat of the moment.
That was
trying to help you help yourself.
The Jaguars game. The rainy Jaguars game when they came to Kansas City.
Ugh, gross.
I'll finish off this part of the conversation.
Please.
And I'll embarrass the heck out of my wife here for 30 minutes.
Yes!
So we met, God, what it would have been. It would have been October 2015. So we went to her cousin's wedding. And her cousin, who is just a sadistic animal, got married on New Year's Eve in Springfield, Illinois at 7 o'clock at night.
Okay.
Right? I mean, just, I haven't spoken to him since. Did that on New Year's Eve. So we're there, and I'm trying to still make a good impression. This is the second time I've ever met her parents, and I'm meeting her sisters. So I'm like, all right, I cannot get loaded at sweating.
Yeah.
She, on the other hand, not trying to make a good impression on her family. Drank approximately 9 gallons of red wine. And then we have a 3.5 hour drive home on New Year's Day. And of course, I drive because she, like Rudy in those stories, was in no condition to be behind the wheel. We had to pull over 3 times on the interstate so she could just heave.
Oh.
And the second time we pulled over, a cop car pulled up behind us.
Oh,
and I was like, you guys all right? I'm like, officer, I'm fine. She, not so much. And he took like a look in at me, her, at me, and he just kind of chuckled, feeling, all right, Ken, you have good luck with that. And he just got in the car and drove away. All right. So, yeah, good. I'm glad I could tell that story and humiliate my poor pregnant wife.
No, listen, I mean,
I will say then, too, honorable mention for me where I was first going to go was the original Four Loko formula.
Oh.
Then I remembered that while it was always a bad decision to drink, even now I would probably make that dumb decision again because it was more of a fun dumb decision, whereas like
sure.
Tequila just destroys me.
Yeah.
But that original Four Loko was...
I never partook in it. I was not
oh
drinking whenever that was still a thing. Yeah,
woke up under a fire escape once on the roof of a house. It was a rough night.
It sounded like it was a roof night.
Ba-boom.
I just thought I was going to get fully heckled for that. Oh, good. All right. Well, this has been a wonder. I've enjoyed this segment very much. Thank you guys for sharing your stories. Matt, here, I'm just going to give you just a fastball down the middle football question so we can see where we end up. Tell me something that you know definitively, that you're like, I am 100% confident about this thing in the NFL right now.
That's a fastball down the middle. I feel like a Phil Negro, like, spitball. I think the only thing I'm confident in right now is that we don't know who the favorite is yet. And,
yeah.
And I don't mean that as, like, a cryptic, stupid, like,
no.
Trying to sound smarter than I am. I mean, like, you know, sometimes at this point in the year, you look at a team, and God knows the Pats forever, right? Or to be fair, the Chiefs last year.
Yep.
Where you looked at a team and you're like, that's the best team. That team, they may lose, something might happen, but, like, they're the best team in football. I don't know that if you polled 10 people who have a real legitimate, honest opinion of the league, I don't know that you wouldn't get 5 different answers.
Yeah.
Like, I don't And I, you know, you talk to people. I remember having this same conversation multiple times. I've gone to the Senior Bowl down at Mobile or the Combine. Or sometimes you do the Super Bowl. Like, NFL people will tell you, almost without fail, the season starts on Thanksgiving. That's mm-hmm. when it starts. You know, teams figure out who they are, what they can do, what they can't do, how they can improve, what they have to scheme around. And then you start seeing the teams that can adjust take off. And the teams that can't, they go to that next gear, and they just don't have it. And I think that's where we are at the NFL right now. You have all these teams. And I think we can all agree, maybe this is the thing that I should have said. Like, there's five teams in the NFC that are legitimately contenders to get to the Super Bowl. Right? Arizona, the Rams, the Cowboys, the Packers, and the Bucks. Mm. I don't think anybody else is even remotely a threat to do it.
Yeah.
The AFC, you take out a couple of the real bottom feeders, you know, the Jets, Texans, Jaguars, whatever. I mean, you can make a case for any of those teams to be in the playoffs. Now, I would sit here and say, okay, I don't think Denver's making the playoffs. You know, mm-hmm. I don't think. But the AFC is just out of its mind this year. You could make a case for out of seven teams. Now, I think the four top teams in the AFC are the teams leading their divisions: Tennessee, Kansas City, Baltimore, Buffalo. And then, you know, like, those are the four that, if somebody else got the Super Bowl, I got to be honest, I'd be really surprised.
Mm-hmm.
But if you really want to squint and say, well, the Chargers, or, well, you know, you really believe in I don't know, New England. I don't. Like, I think New England's fine. New England's not going to the Super Bowl. But they all have their cases.
I mean, this sounds insane, but there are 11 teams in the AFC with 5 or 6 wins.
Yep.
11. So you've got the Titans at 8, and you've got the Dolphins, Jets, Jags, and Texans. And to your point, I don't think the Broncos are good. I don't think the best version of the Browns or the Colts are a real threat. The very best version of the Bengals that we've seen are scary, just because Joe Burrow and Jamar Chase are scary. Like, and you can do that from there on up. Like you said, you mentioned the Chargers. Rudy and I mentioned them, talking about them earlier, thinking, you know what, I feel dumb because I kind of thought the Chargers had actually turned a corner. And they still might, because they have Justin Herbert, who I actually think, despite, you know, a couple of a shaky second quarter of the year or whatever, I guess. But, like, his high gear is dangerous. And I just don't know. I mean, I saw you tweet about the Titans, who, again, right now are number one with a bullet in terms of seeding. They don't have Derrick Henry. Maybe that matters, and maybe it matters a little bit. Maybe it matters a lot. Maybe it doesn't matter that much at all. I have huge questions about them, and they are clearly in the driver's seat right now.
They are. I will say this, though. I really try. Like, I was thinking about this today. So, like I said earlier in the interview, I'm 33, so I remember a time when there wasn't social media, there wasn't minute-by-minute analysis of every single thing that's happened, and it's got to be parsed and passed. You know, I remember when you watched a football game, okay, you had NFL prime time, and then you had NFL live, like, for a half hour a couple times a week, and that was it. And I think, you know, the takes were more nuanced then, because they could be.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, you know, some guy towards, you know, Mac Jones has a good game, and you have a police report, like, he's Tom Brady now. Like,
right.
No, he's not.
Right.
He's not Tom Brady. He threw for 198 yards for last. I always try to do my best to look past just the thing 6 inches in front of your face, and I fail. Sometimes a couple weeks ago, the Bengals beat the Ravens. I wrote my whole column. But, hey, look at the Bengals. And then they get boat raced by the Jets. So
right.
These things happen.
Right.
But I always try to have, like, what I call, like, the bet your life test. If somebody said to me, all right, Tennessee, they're 8-2, they're number one in the conference. Now, they've averaged less 100 yards less per game in the last 2 weeks than their normal average, right? So they've been down, I think 538 put that out there. And they've been outgained the last 2 games. Their offense has not been good, but they've been able to survive on some very questionable officiating and a couple of picks against the Rams. If I had to bet my life, if somebody said to me, look, they play Kansas City in a playoff game. Who do you want? I want the Chiefs.
Yeah.
I don't care where the game is. I don't care where it is, what the weather is. Because to me, when you get down the playoffs, you get down to that part of the schedule, it comes down to, so often, who can make a big play on 3rd and 11? Who can out-coach the other side? And I think that Tennessee's got good coaching, but you know, I look at Allen, and I look at Mahomes, and I look at Lamar. And those guys, especially to be fair, Allen and Mahomes, I look at those guys and say, I trust that if that team's got to go 80 yards in 2 minutes, they can do it.
Yeah.
So that's why with the Titans, I look at it, and I think a lot of people feel this way. It's like, yeah, they're 8-2, and give them all the credit in the world. But do you really, like, if somebody said to you, you're going to bet your life, you taking Ryan Tannehill over those guys in a playoff game?
No. No, I'm not.
I can't. I can't do it. Yeah. And I won't do it.
What do you make of some of the specific individual results where you see Jets, Bengals, just on Thursday, Dolphins over Ravens?
Yep.
Right now on NFL Network, they're re-airing Washington and Tampa. And obviously, that's an NFC win, and you can stay in the AFC if you want, whatever. But what do you make of the fact that it does seem like that there are these games where even Jags, Bills, like the teams that are not in contention, the very few teams who are not in contention, three out of the four of them have had a huge win in recent weeks over a legitimate contender. Why is that happening?
Because I think every one of these teams, and this includes the NFC, by the way, they all have massive flaws.
Mm.
And if they show up on the wrong day, any of these teams, as you just laid out, it can show up against anybody. Like, Baltimore's flaw is their receivers are not good.
Mm.
And Miami said, we have good corners. We're going to bring seven guys every play. We're not going to give Lamar a chance to run out of the pocket. He's going to have to get rid of the ball quick, and we feel we can play man up with no safety help. Good luck. And Baltimore had nothing. Mm. They could not do anything in that game. Again, you know, Buffalo-Jacksonville, I watched that game a lot. I couldn't believe it as it was coming down the stretch. But, you know, Jacksonville, they got pressure on Allen constantly. I mean, the Bills, the one problem the Bills have, and I have a feeling with Buffalo, this is going to rear its head at some point in January. They're not good in the trenches on either side of the ball. They're just not. They have three really good receivers. They've got a great quarterback. I love the coaching. Their defense is excellent, especially the back seven. Pass rush isn't very good. Offensive line's very shaky. They cannot run the ball for a foot. Like, at some point, that comes back to haunt. And the funny thing is, the Kansas City, I'm sure I'll get them here at some point. Mm-hmm. Like, Kansas City, you look at them early in the year, their big fatal flaw was obviously their defense.
Mm-hmm.
Like, their defense is just a catastrophe. Last 5 weeks, giving up 15 points a game.
Yep.
And they, on Sunday night, were dominant against an offense that is very explosive at times this year. They could not do anything in that game. An offense, by the way, that last year lit the Chiefs up twice.
Yeah.
You know, for 36 points, 35 and a half points a game. So that is the one thing with the Chiefs. If that defense holds up like this the rest of the year, what is their fatal flaw? I would argue that their fatal flaw is themselves at times.
Mm-hmm.
Turnovers, penalties, that's it. But that's the one thing, if I'm the rest of the AFC, I'd be a bit terrified of.
Yeah.
If that defense is good, like, Mahomes is not going to be their fatal flaw in January.
Yeah.
That's not going to happen. So, like, did they beat themselves? Well, you better hope they beat themselves. Because if they don't, good luck.
Yeah.
I don't know who else is going to match up with them.
Do you have any hesitation with all of these things we've said about how, you know, week by week, so many crazy things can happen? Obviously, the Chiefs on Sunday looked like a version of the Chiefs we have seen a ton of over the last couple of years. So I understand that as a larger sample size. Do you have any hesitation on the Sunday night version of the Chiefs being a better version than the quote unquote realist version of the Chiefs would be? Or do you think that we're going to see something like Sunday night again against the Cowboys after the bye for the rest of the season?
You know, obviously it's impossible to say, but I think I'll put it this way. I think that the Chiefs on Sunday night showed the best version of what they are.
Mm-hmm.
If they can piece games together like that, I don't care who they're playing, they're going to be almost impossible to beat because that defense now is much faster with all these younger guys playing. They can cover man on man. You know, they're getting pressure. They move Jones back in. And we've all seen all the different changes they've made in a linebacker as well. Offensively, their problem offensively is they just beat themselves.
Yeah.
Turnovers and penalties. I mean, they lead the league in turnovers. They're second, I believe, offensively in penalties. If they don't do that, they're a juggernaut. They're just so hard to stop. They have so much going for them. And in the playoffs, you'll look at them and go, all right, well, who's got anywhere near the experience data? I mean, Baltimore's experience in the playoffs is just losing all the time. Same as, I mean, Tennessee and Buffalo have gotten AFC title games, but who have they gotten pounded by in those games?
Yep.
And, you know, so I don't know. I mean, the Chargers have never even been to a playoff game with this current iteration. It sounds weird to say this. It's the same true of New England.
Mm.
I would be a little scared. Honestly, I think New England would be the scariest team for one reason. The guy on the sideline.
Yeah.
You could just have a game with him where he just comes up with something that for three quarters you have no idea what to do.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think the Chiefs will play better here going forward. They're very healthy. And you know, the defense has been playing like this now for 5 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, really, it's just been like, can the offense get over this? What I thought for all this time was really a crisis of confidence. I mean, they just looked almost shell-shocked. I think they're going to play really well going forward. I think they've just found themselves again. And the Dallas game's interesting because Dallas cannot get a pass rush. So he's going to have time to throw the ball. Mm-hmm. And if that's the case, I expect a lot of points in the game.
Well, so, yeah, let's go Chiefs defense looking ahead to the Cowboys game because, like you said, I mean, this has been a consistent thing for the Chiefs defense. And you can say, you know, it was against Taylor Heinicke and Daniel Jones and Jordan Love. And, again, the Raiders, I think, have the best offense of that group, I would think. And so, you know, I know you could pick and poke at that if you wanted to, but also it's not the defense's fault that that's who they've gone up against. And it sounds like you're a believer, at least to some extent, on this being a legitimate step in the right direction. What is it going to look like against the Cowboys? Because that is definitely a step up in terms of offensive talent across from them.
You can make the case Dallas is the best offense in football. Mm. So this is going to be a huge test. I am a believer in Kansas City's defense, though. I have no qualms about that. Look, they made a lot of changes. You know, if they hadn't, and it was the same personnel, I would be a little more like, all right, well,
yeah.
You know, we've seen this team against better offenses. It's so different than it was the first 5-6 weeks of the year. I mean, it's so different. You have Gay, who's been playing great. You have Bolton, who's really stepped up. I got to be fair. There was a play on Sunday night. Like, Nick Bolton, to me, is the quintessential. He's downhill. He's going to hit you in the run game. He's not going to give you much in coverage.
Yeah.
There was a play on Sunday night in the second half of the game where Bolton ran stride for, like, 30 yards with Waller. I had no idea that was possible.
Yeah, 100%
agree.
Yeah.
Fenton, and I'm not a big PFF guy. He's the number one graded corner in the league.
Yeah.
Like, they have all these guys. I think he's quite that good. No, but he's been very good. He's been very good. Thornhill's obviously been excellent since coming in. And by the way, Jerron Reed, who I've been killing all year long, like,
mm-hmm.
they put Chris Jones inside next to him, and Jerron Reed showed up.
Yep.
Like, I mean, so all that stuff combined with a coordinator who everybody early in the year is like, they got a fire. And I mean, come on. Look, the guy is one of the best five coordinators in football. Like, it's okay. He'll figure it out. He has figured it out. I think defensively, look, this game, to me, is going to come down to, can they match up one-on-one with some of these Dallas receivers? You've got Gallup back, Cooper, of course, you have CeeDee Lamb, but they're putting in the slot. Like, the Chiefs have three corners who can play, and Lamb is going to be the hardest matchup, I think, for any of them. But the good thing for the Chiefs is they have some flexibility. Fenton can play inside, Sneed can play inside, Matthew can drop down and play as a corner at times. So I'm curious to see how they go about it. Maybe this comes back and bites me. I'm not that worried about Dallas running the football in the game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think they'll be okay. I think they'll run decently. I don't think they're going to gas Kansas City. But I think the Chiefs are actually kind of uniquely okay in this game because I think they're going to play man. I think they can, you know, at least slow Dallas down. Dallas is going to score 10 points, but they can mitigate it.
Yeah, and I think that, again, whenever you can, it's funny because we spent so much time talking about and even asking Patrick Mahomes about pressing, but I whenever, you know, he couldn't trust the defense to get two stops a game or whatever. But it's kind of funny to think about it the other way around of like, hey, the defense can actually afford to play man and to just try to win a couple of drives as long as they can trust that the offense is going to look like it did on Sunday and be able to put up some points of their own. Obviously, the Cowboys defense, I mean, it's been a super interesting story of the last couple of years and the entirely defensive draft and sort of the evolution there. How good is that unit at this point or how much do they still have to prove?
Well, it's more athletic. Parsons is a really, really athletic guy in the front seven. He's going to do a lot of different things. And Diggs, of course, is probably the defensive player of the year, and they picks. I will say, though, them losing Gregory for this game is a big deal.
Mm.
That is a big deal in this game. That's like if Kansas City lost Chris Jones. Mm. Like, that is and not because he's as good as Chris Jones, but he's easily leading the team in sacks. I believe he has 5 or 5.5. DeMarcus Lawrence is already out. He's been out. they do not get pressure outside of Randy Gregory. They just do not do it. Mm-hmm. And nobody in their right mind is going to blitz Mahomes. So you're going to get a whole lot of dropping. Now, I expect them to play more like other teams have, like cover two and man under, and try to stop the Chiefs that way, which teams, of course, have had famously success with this year. But I think the one component of that is just like they've got to get to him. Mm-hmm. If they can't get to him, I don't know that it matters. Like, now that Mahomes is back in rhythm, the offense is back in rhythm. The other thing, you know, Trayvon Diggs has been great this year. If there's one thing you can do to him, though, it is double move him.
Yeah.
And if they can't get to Mahomes, the Chiefs are going to try to do that in this game. So, look, I think it's interesting. I think two really good teams. You know, the line's at 2.5 in most places. It's right. It was 1.5. People bet Kansas City up. I think Kansas City is the better team when they play the way they can play. If they play the way they played Sunday, they're going to win. But that's a high bar. I mean, they really play well. And then, you know, at the same point, you say, well, it's a high bar, but they also had a punter force a fumble against them. And Mahomes missed a wide-open touchdown to Robinson. I mean, they could have scored 50. So we'll see. But I think Kansas City actually matches up fairly well in this game, despite maybe what you think right off the top looking at Dallas's offense.
Last thing here, maybe we can get people to go check out your power rankings with this in mind. Give me just one team right now that you say the most people are wrong about where this team belongs. Underrated, overrated, whatever. And you can go check out his full power rankings right now on FanSided.
I guess coming off this week, I would say New England. Mm. Like, people need to calm down.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, look. That's fine. Give them all the credit in the world. They killed Cleveland. It's finally Cleveland. Just dig the grave at this point. I mean, Mike, that team. No team has more hype. Them and the Chargers every year. Every year you're like, oh, right, no, they're not good. Although I think the Chargers actually are halfway decent here. The Browns, it's just like, that's nice. See them next year. But, you know, the Pats were properly rated, and then this game happened, and it was national for a lot of people around the country. And it turns into this whole, like, are they a Super Bowl team? Like, no, they're not. Yeah. I'm sorry. Unless Belichick has an all-time, even for him, playoffs, they're not. They're not offensively gifted enough.
Yeah.
They're not going to beat teams. They're not going to beat a Buffalo or a Kansas City in a playoff game where, you know, Mahomes and Allen are shooting lasers all over the field. And Mac Jones is like, hey, gain of five. I mean, I'm sorry. They're a tough out because of their coach.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing, I guess, really quickly, I'll say, I don't think Baltimore is nearly as good as their record.
Oh, interesting.
They should have lost to Detroit.
Yeah.
Like, and not even like one of those, like, well, they could have. No. They should have.
They should have, yeah.
Detroit. They really should have lost to Kansas City.
Yep.
They should have lost to Indianapolis. I mean, you go down, they have lost to Miami. The Bengals killed them in Baltimore. And by the way, are the Ravens their last seven games of the year after Chicago this week? Two against Pittsburgh, two against Cleveland, at Cincinnati, Rams, Packers.
Oof.
Have fun, guys.
Woo! All right. I like that called shot. You can go check out the power rankings. You can go check out Matt's NFL quarterback rankings. You can go through anything you want. You can go to his Twitter account, at Matt Verderam. You'll tweet out the links for your various places. That's on FanSided. You can check out the Stacking the Box podcast as well. The Arrowhead Addict podcast. I can't remember how often you're actually on that show, Matt, but I try to plug it whenever you're here. Okay, good. Good. You can check that out, and there will be various people that you can listen to, like our friend Matt Connor, like our colleague Sterling Holmes. I'm not going to say friend because it's Sterling.
Nobody does.
But that's, you know, but he's good for something. We're trying to figure out what it is still. Matt's going to have some content for you somewhere. Follow him on Twitter at Matt Verderam, and you can go check it out. Thank you, Matt. I will. I'll try to get us two boxes of the Arby's vodka. But if I just get the one, I'll pour off some samples for you, and I'll mail it your way.
Thank you. That's what I look for in the holiday season.
That will be my gift. Send a Christmas card, too. Thank you, Matt.
Take it easy.
I really am going to try to get this vodka. Like, that's not a bit, because I love trying weird. Everyone listening to the show knows this.
The bit would be not getting the vodka.
Yeah, it would be out of character. Yeah, that's right. It would tell, if I was like, "Hey guys, I didn't buy the Arby's vodka." Literally, everyone listening would be like, "Yeah, I did. It's under the desk. Like, just show us."
It's fine, man. Just drink it.
I just don't know
how many carbs are in that.
That's a good question. I guess like
I think technically alcohol does have carbs, but I just assume Arby's alcohol
is just, I mean, and it's potato flavored vodka. Like, it seems like there's got to be a carb in there somewhere. I'll listen, man. Whenever
crunch some numbers, do some math.
That's right. I'm gonna crunch some numbers. I'm gonna figure it out, and then eventually, I'm going to get absolutely horsey sauce hammered off of some Arby's vodka. Greatest country in the world. Let's take a break. Whenever we come back, we'll talk about maybe some more Chiefs Raiders. I got to talk about something else I remembered earlier. I've got a nonsense story that feels like it's in pretty close tandem with the Arby's vodka. We'll talk about something fun whenever we come back.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
The one thing that Tequila Cowboy is getting sued by me because that's my nickname.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
I've never, contrary to that liner, I don't want anyone to ever think those liners are non-canonical because those are the most canonical part of this show. If it's not in a liner, it may as well have never happened. I've never been a huge just like tequila drinker. I've had a margarita now and again. It's all fine, and I never had a terrible tequila experience. So I couldn't follow Rudy and Verderam on that one.
The second I taste it, I just want to throw up.
Right, and I totally understand the sense memory like connection there. That makes sense to me. But I did have somebody tell me that tequila is like a total non-factor for your blood sugar. And so you can just kind of become a tequila connoisseur as a diabetic and not have to bleep with it at all.
That kind of makes sense to me, just in the sense if you told me like to describe tequila, I'd probably say it's like the most pure alcohol.
But I was surprised because it comes from agave, right? And that's like you can make agave syrup, which is just sugar.
Yeah.
I don't know. I've never claimed to be a liquorologist.
Mixologist.
I guess. I was trying to think about the process of making it. Yeah, that's like a cocktail. You definitely can't say the first part of the word cocktailologist. That's why mixologist has to be the word.
Yeah.
Because you cannot be...
You wouldn't be a brewer, because a brewer does
that's
beer.
That's for beer, right. That's why I said a liquorologist.
I've been to, like, whiskey distilleries. A distiller.
Distiller is the word.
I mean, at least certainly for whiskey.
No, I think you can distill vodka
for
sure.
Yeah,
I think so. Probably.
Yeah,
we're cool. Everybody listening right now, you hear how cool we are, cultured and adult grown ups.
We know what we're doing.
Yeah. What do you do for seltzer? Do you think you don't brew a seltzer, but it's
carb. I was gonna say carbonate, but I don't think that's really right.
I mean, because
infuse.
Wow. Okay, I like that. Here's my one other quick little Chiefs thing, and then we got to take another break before the end of the hour, right? Ready?
Okay. Yeah.
I'll give you a Chiefs thing in this segment. I'll give you a quick story next segment. And then we'll save the most bonkers nonsense story for the end of the show. There we go. There's our plan, everyone. One of the things that I took away from this game, I tweeted immediately after I don't know if it was after the game or just after Dan Sorensen's interception, but I think an incredibly good sign that the Chiefs are back to being the team that we've seen them be for the larger sample sizes, where the last few weeks, the first 9 weeks, were a little bit more of an aberration than who they actually are now.
Dan Sorensen's elite again?
Kinda. That's kind of where I was going. Maybe not with quite as much conviction or confidence. But it's that you got a 100-yard receiving game from Darrell Williams. That you got a touchdown from Noah Gray and Byron Pringle. That Tommy Townsend threw for a first down and Marcus Kemp caught it. That Dan Sorensen got a pick. That Rashad Fenton... That Tyrann Mathieu went for the play on the pick, and it probably should have been a touchdown. But instead, Rashad Fenton made a fantastic hustle play and just takes 7 points out of the Raiders' final score. If they would have had this performance strictly on the backs of Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, Chris Jones, Frank Clark, Tyrann Mathieu, obviously Patrick Mahomes, whatever, it still would have been great, right? You could say, oh, well, you know what? The Chiefs look fixed now because all of their stars are no longer just being limited in whatever way they've been limited. And the Chiefs will go as far as their stars go, right? This is not me telling you that actually Byron Pringle is the most important player on this offense with some crazy wonky math.
Maybe you should get a few more snaps.
I actually think he had the most routes run of the non-Tyreek Hill receivers. I think it went Hill, Pringle, Robinson, Gordon, Hardman, which is not a great development for Mecole Hardman. But seeing the role players make impactful plays is a very good sign, because so much of these last few weeks, and again, look, we've got Seth Kizer in 15 minutes. I'll remind you of this then. Patrick Mahomes was dookie against the Titans. Everything was sort of sticky and sort of slow against the Giants, but the ball moved. Against the Packers, Seth will tell you, Patrick Mahomes was straight up good, but he didn't have help. He had his stars dropping passes or slipping on a third down, and no one else was getting open. And I think you could partially look to the play calling. You can partially look to the performance of the individual players. You can partially look to Patrick Mahomes being back on his bull bleep. All of that stuff all plays a part in it. But to know that you can go to Byron Pringle or Noah Gray for a big play in a big moment, that you can have Blake Bell pull off the quarterback sneak with his sneaky little motions, to know that that's in the repertoire, that there's some trust that can be given to your guys who aren't just 15, 87, and 10 offensively, or aren't just literally just Chris Jones defensively, to have everybody being able to actually chip in a meaningful way, I think is just about as important on the whole as it is to have the stars performing as well as they were. I think that was a missing part of the equation through the first 9 weeks of the season. Do you have something, Rudy? It seemed like you might, and then I thought we could also take a break. So.
Yeah, I guess a half point. It wasn't a fully thought out point, but I think part of
Rudy, I'm sorry, we only have fully thought out points on this show.
The reality is, like, part of being good is getting lucky, and part of that too is just it's. Well, the Chiefs have, everybody likes to talk about, the Chiefs are one of the most, like the last couple of years, one of the most like top-heavy rosters in the NFL. Mm. But the reality is you could find moments throughout the last 3 years of guys, right? We've seen Mecole Hardman have those games. We've seen Byron Pringle have those games. We've seen DeMarcus Robinson have those games.
Yep.
You can find those games because that's kind of part of it, right? It's Daniel Sorensen having two turnovers in a game or something. Like, there's usually somebody, kind of like the unknown, step up and make plays, right? Like, that's the Chiefs have done that the last 3 years, even though they have been a top-heavy team. I say that with quotations because to a degree, they are, right? Like,
yeah,
and like they rely on their best players because that's what good NFL teams do.
Right, but I also think that if you're going to talk about top-heavy, you can also say, like, it makes being top-heavy in an extreme way, as the Chiefs structurally are, it does make it harder for you to find role players to contribute big moments because you are going in a lot of places stars and scrubs. I'm going to sound like I overpraise Byron Pringle to overcriticizing him, but like I don't know if Byron Pringle's on another NFL roster. Marcus Kemp probably isn't. DeMarcus Robinson hit free agency and no one was interested. Eventually he probably gets a cheap deal or whatever, but like all of those guys could have been, at any point, could have ended up somewhere else. They ended up with the Chiefs, and now they're in the system, and so they have that advantage. And so you need those guys to outperform their pay grade, and a lot of them did that on Sunday. We'll take a break. Seth Kizer in about 10 minutes. My story about my mustache whenever we come back.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
Justin Guile has a comment on the Facebook page and says, Josh, Beards, I love you guys. I never get to watch live because I'm at work, but I listen to the podcast. Please keep up the good work almost entirely. Thank you, Justin.
With Joshua Briscoe.
It's so nice to hear that someone loves me still. Justin doesn't care that I didn't successfully get him into the Panic at the Disco show tonight. Justin loves me anyway. Thank you, Justin.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Here's my story before we get to Seth Kaiser in just a couple of minutes. I have a mustache currently. This was previously zoomed in on Twitch. I'll post a screenshot of that later if I remember. I've told people that I have this mustache by accident. And the logical response is, well, what do you mean you grew a mustache by accident? I didn't say that I grew it by accident. I have it by accident. On Friday night, I think it was, I said I was going to go ahead and I was going to trim my beard in pretty far. Just felt like it was a good thing to do. Just had just seen The French Dispatch, the new Wes Anderson movie. I'm now 10 for 10 on seeing. I saw Renee and I watched all 10 Wes Anderson movies in order.
Was it good?
It will. These will all be shot clock reviews at some point. I am in the bag for Wes Anderson movies at this point now. And The French Dispatch is very weird and also wonderful. If you like Wes Anderson movies, you should go see it. Lots of good mustaches though, just throughout the Wes Anderson collection. Thinking, you know what, I might just bring the beard way in, maybe leave a little mustache. We'll see. I'm gonna see what happens. But I had three guards out. I had the light gray 1mm guard, the dark gray 5mm guard, and the light gray 7mm guard. My thought was I was gonna leave myself a little bit of sideburn room, you know, and keep that at a 7, and then, you know, start with the 5, see where it ends up, and maybe if I get crazy, I'll bring it all down farther. And so I put the light gray guard on, thinking it's the 7, but not really thinking about it too hard. I've done this a million times. And I put it up to my sideburn where I was going to just start trimming and then leave another good inch of sideburn at a 7. And you know the sound of cutting too much hair with a pair of clippers? You're expecting a little bzzz, and instead you get a zhunk. I got a zhunk. And just, there's no redeeming that. You know, I thought for a second, well, what if I just went really short and did like kind of the beard fade or whatever? No, this isn't going to happen. So I just went to town. I brought it down to a goatee. That is not going to be my look. I brought it down to the whole horseshoe mustache. Looked like Hulk Hogan. Left it at the mustache just now. How much longer is it going to live here? Who's to say? But it's here right now. Seth Kaiser's next.